quiet in here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So glad you're with us here this morning at Duffield, Virginia, and it's a beautiful Sunday morning, beautiful Lord's Day, and we're just glad you're here. Welcome to all those out there in Facebook land and out there in the parking lot and listening on our FM 88.1. And we're going to start our service off this morning with number 335, Standing on the Promises. So let's stand and sing. 335. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God.
Church.
Good morning.
Once, as Brother Ken said, I want to welcome you here to Thomas Village Baptist Church. Just going to run through a few of the announcements here on the back of the bulletin, if you have one. You can take a look yourself. But the Samaritan's Purse monthly shoebox donations, the donation basket is out in the foyer. So take a look in that. It's going on now through the month of September. There is a basket in the foyer for donations. Grab a supply list on the table. And it also, there's an announcement for the mobile app for your phone, the Give Plus Church app. So check that out as well on the Google Play Store. And it says, mark your calendar. Our Vacation Bible School will be on August the 7th. More details to follow. And one announcement that's not on the bulletin, we're going to have a quick meeting for our children's Sunday school. All of our teachers and our workshop leaders, just please meet if you're planning on helping out, meet here in the fellowship hall immediately after our morning worship. Anyone interested in doing that? And also, Pastor Brian is not with us this morning, but the Lord has provided Mr. Joe Hill, and he's going to be delivering our message for us. Mr. Hill has over 57 years in the ministry, so we're all looking forward to the message that he has to bring to us. At this time, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, just for the privilege to be here, Father, Lord. Lord, it is not about us. It is about you, Father. Lord, the whole reason why we come together as one, Father, it is for you and for your glory, Lord. So it's just right now, Lord, in our thoughts and in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, we lift up praises to you in this moment. Lord, we just thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross for our sins. Lord, bless this remaining service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before Brother Hill comes, let's stand up and sing one more song. It's another stand-up song. Stand up for Jesus, number 485. Says, you know, never forget that no one loves you more than Jesus does. No one has done so much for you as Jesus. And if you open your heart to him today, which I hope you do, if you need it, no one will ever do more for you than Jesus.
When you get 90 years old, you slow down. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each of you with us this morning. It's good to be here. How many in here know me? Raise your hand. We got four or five know me, aren't we? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I'm Joe Hill. I'm pastor of Friendship Chapel Church over in Kingsport. I've been in that church for 31 years. And I pastored Marston City Mission before I went there 16 years. And before I went there, I went pastored Brick Church for 10 years. So I've been pastoring all my preaching life, all my ministry. But the Lord's been good to me. I'm 90 years old, still driving, still pastoring, still going. But I've slowed down a lot, I have to say that. I told a brother there a while ago, I used to run back and forth across the stage, but I can't do that no more. You get 90 year old, you don't run much. You do well to be walking. Now, most of the folks that I've raised up with have all gone home with the Lord. My friends down through the years, but a preacher friend of mine done gone home to be with the Lord. He told me, he said, Brother Joe, he said, I don't care what happens to you. You can get the cancer or whatever, but you're not going to go. The Lord gets through with you when your work's done, then we'll go home. I believe that. He's got me here for a purpose. I'm still here waiting for that call, and it's going to come. You know, I've said this. I know the Bible teaches us, and not even Christ himself knoweth when the Lord's coming back. The Bible says that only God knows, not even Christ himself knoweth. But I've always felt like I'd be here. Can't help how you feel, can you? But according to what we see going on in our world today, then we know that we is close. The Lord's soon coming. Say, well, preacher, I've heard that all my life. I have too. If you live another 100 years, you'll hear it again. If the Lord don't come back, because he is soon coming. Just sure we're here, he's soon coming. And my main thing is to get ready. We're going to speak to you just a few moments, the Lord being a helper. How many here believe that God knows everything? Everybody does, don't they? I'm going to tell you four things he don't know of. I know he knows everything. He even knows your thoughts before we think them. He knows all about us. But I'm going to give you a few things here. And I'll give you, you write them down, scriptures down, and look at, read them when you get home. Search them out. They give you something to do. You know, I like the people to follow me. Back up on what I preach. If you'll show me I'm wrong, then I'll admit I'm wrong. But you have to show me through this right here that I'm wrong. Turn your Bibles well over Genesis writing. Chapter 6, verse of Genesis. We're going to read down through verse 8. You notice how it said in that first part of that verse that it came to pass? All down through the Bible, you'll find out in the Bible, and it came to pass, and so it was. And when it says that, that means it came to pass. It really happened. So here it said that it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Notice that now. God looked down in the hearts, didn't he? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Think about that. We didn't mean much to him that time, did we? Because we evil, wasn't it? And the Lord said, let me get back to the sixth verse. And he ran, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man for whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for he repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you glad that they were a man on the earth? Amen. By grace through faith are you saved, not of works lest any man should boast. By the grace that Noah had here is why we're here today. Had God not found grace in the eyes of Noah, he would have destroyed the earth and all that's in it. But it repented him that he made it. We'd turn your Bibles, if you will, over to John 3:16. This is something I want to read to you. The first four things that God didn't know of, he doesn't know of any sin that he doesn't hate. He don't know of any sin that he doesn't hate. Proverbs chapter, I said John, I'll go to John just a moment. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Listen to what God said. This is the word of God. Not what I said or what somebody else said. It's what the word said. It said, these six things doeth the Lord hate. I don't believe it's a sin that in life that he don't hate. The Bible said righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to every man. He said, there are six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, that's the first thing he hates, isn't it? A proud look. We got a lot of that in our world, haven't we? We have. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that defieth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to unto mischief, and a false witness that spirit spreadeth lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now God hates all sins. That's why he had to die, because of the sins on the earth. If you go over to Revelation, the Bible says over there they search for one that opened the seven seals, and they only find one worthy. John said he began to weep. He said, weep not, John, for there is one, the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world. He is worthy. They found him worthy to open the seal, one of the seven seals. And he was the only one that was found worthy to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life, and he freely gave his life, that you and I could have this hope that we have today. And I talk about, now, the Bible says here, God doesn't know of a sinner he doesn't love. Now we go to John 3:16. Think about that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's the only way of salvation. You go over to Titus's writing. We give you some scripture you go by. Titus chapter 3, chapter 2, Heather, verse 11 and 12. I don't believe there'd be ever a person that enter into eternity and stand before God and say, God, I didn't know. I didn't have an opportunity. Somewhere in life's way, God will speak to your heart if you'll listen. Said, for the great, verse 11 of the second chapter of Titus, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men everywhere. Think about that now. We'll not stand before God and say, I didn't know. Said, teaching us to deny ungodly and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, not in the world to come. We got to live it here, not in the world to come. Now think about that now. And God doesn't know of any better time to be saved than now. Now you think about that. Turn your Bible, if you will, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Also over to Isaiah chapter 49. We hung these scriptures up. We'd like to read them to you. Chapter 6, verse 2 of book 2 Corinthians. If there's ever a time that people need to be saved, it's now. Because I truly believe we're living in the last days. I truly believe that. Here Paul said in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, said, for he saith, I talk about the Lord, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now, not tomorrow, next week, or next month, but now, he said, is an accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There ain't going to be no tomorrow for him. Today is the day. You know, if God's speaking to your heart this morning, here at the church, and you turn, well, you may never have another opportunity. I read over in Jesus is writing where he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. But I truly believe that somewhere in life that God will speak to your heart and give you an opportunity to accept his son as your savior. Because if he didn't, he'd have respect for persons, wouldn't he? But God has no respect for persons. If we have respect for persons in our life, we've sinned. God has no respect for persons. When his son died down on the cross of Calvary, he died for the sins of the whole world. No matter what you've done, where you're at, what it is, God can save you if he speaks to your heart. You know, a lot of folks say, well, I'll get saved if I want to. No, you won't either. How many of you here would went to the altar if God hadn't spoke to your heart? How would you come to the altar? Just get up and come and not even feel nothing. You ain't going to do that, are we? God has to deal with that heart before you can get saved. And certainly, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. I believe God will speak one time. It's a promise he'll speak one time. He don't promise two times or three times, but he promised one time he'll speak to your heart, and you can be saved. But if you turn him away, then you may never have another opportunity. I think about that so much. If God had known any other way besides his son, turn your Bibles, if you will, over to... see where I've got that broke down. Acts 4 and 12. I'll read it to you. I can quote it. I've quoted it many times down through the years, but I'll just read it. We talk about no other. Excuse me. See what you do when you get old? My church got used to me. Paul said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're looking for any other way, then you're going to be lost and die and go down to the devil's hell. Oh, say, don't say it, where is hell? They to hell, just sure they to heaven. Amen. Only two places to go, and he gave you a choice. I believe he said in one place, he said, behold, I set good and evil before you, and you choose this day whom you shall serve. Choose Christ and live, or death and die. Whichever one you want, you can choose it. God, when he created man over back in the beginning of time, he created him a free moral agent. You that are here this morning, you can do whatever you want to if you got your health, can't you? If you want to get up right now and leave, you can get up and leave. If you want to come to all, you come to all. You do whatever you want to. But sometimes we make moves that we make because we can make them that we have to pay somewhere along the way. But God created us a free moral agent. We can do whatever we want to. I tell my church, I said, you get up on Sunday morning, make your way to the house of God if you want to, or you make your way downtown to one of the things that they got going on downtown. You can go down there you want. But you can go where you want to on Sunday morning. You don't have to go to church. No, you got a choice. Choose you this day. The Bible said, whom you may serve. Choose Christ and live, and choose death and die. Listen. I believe that there'll be people stand before God. I don't believe they'll be able to say anything. I truly don't believe we're going to be able to give any excuses to God. But if it could be, they say, well, I just didn't know. I didn't have an opportunity. But that won't happen. Because you have the opportunity now. Paul said, today is the day of salvation. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The four things that God doesn't know of. I didn't say that God didn't know that now. God knows everything. There ain't nothing he don't know about your life. Amen. He reads your book, life like a book. Knows exactly what you're thinking before you even think it. You think about it, he met Abraham when he was his father's loins. Before he's ever born, before he's ever conceived, he met him and known him. You think he don't know you today? He knows all about you. You don't hide nothing from God. Amen. He may be speaking to your heart this morning. You may turn him away. I'll not know the difference. Now the deacons here will know the difference. But God will know the difference. You know, I think about Samuel when the Lord spoke to him. And he heard the voice speak to him and said, here I am. But he wasn't speaking. He wasn't speaking to him in that manner. But I believe that was it. I get it in a minute. Sometimes I get my thoughts mixed up. But Elijah, there on the mountain, he said, I heard the wind blow, the storms come, and all that. He said, after a while, a still small voice came. He said, here I am. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. He spoke to Isaiah in a still small voice, didn't he? God don't speak to you in a voice like I'm speaking to you this morning, but he speaks to you in a still small voice, speaks to your heart. The only way that he's got to communicate with you is through the Holy Spirit. When he went away yonder, over 2,000 years ago, he said, I need that I go away. It's expedient that I go away. In other words, that's something he had to do to go away. If I go not away, he said, the Comforter will not come. As long as I'm here, that Comforter won't come. But if I go, I'll send a Comforter that'll lead you and he'll guide you into all truth. I tell my church, I said, a lot of times, reason you're going the wrong way, you ain't listening. Amen. The Bible said we have ears to hear, we hear not, and we have eyes to see and see not, lest the Lord's glorious light of the gospel of the Son of God must shine in your life, that you might be saved. So all the time we don't hear it. I said, you get mixed up in the things of this world, we don't listen. We got to listen for God. God will speak to you. He'll never lead you wrong. Never. If God tells you to go down there and speak to somebody, you don't worry about what that fellow's going to say to you, because God's already been there. Amen. He's already been there, hasn't he? So he'll never lead you into something that you can't do. God knows what we can do. He knows exactly what we can do. And he'll never send you to do something that you can't do. Because if he sent you to do it, you can do it. Amen. What Paul said, I can do all things, didn't he? Through Christ who strengthened me, I can do all things. Not just part of it, but I can do all things. I can't do much now, but I can do what God strengthened me to do. Certainly can. So what we need to do is listen. Stop and listen sometime. A still small voice will speak to your heart if you'll listen. I believe that. I believe this psalmist David said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Sometimes we need to be still, quieten down a little bit, don't we? Till we can hear. We get so wrapped up sometimes in things of this life that we don't hear God when he speaks. But he's still speaking as he did in the days of old. He's still speaking today. He hasn't changed. He said he changed not. He said same yesterday, today, and forever. He spoke to the disciples back there. He's speaking to us just like he spoke to them. We only listen. Only listen. Paul listened at him, didn't he? When he rode to Damascus, he was one of the chiefest of the sinners, the Bible said. He was the chiefest of the sinners. On the road to Damascus, God struck him down, didn't he? With a great light from heaven. Paul said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. What would you have me do? He said, well, you go over yonder to Damascus in a street over where it's called straight. There's a man over there waiting on you. That's why I'm trying to tell you. If God tells you to go somewhere, you go. He said, you go over there, man waiting on you. He'll tell you what you need to do. So he went over there and he told Saul. Told Saul, he said, the Lord has sent you to me. And he said, he told him what he had to do. And he opened his eyes. The Bible said that when he opened his eyes, his old scales fell from his eyes. He was blind. God blinded him. He couldn't see. But when God opened his eyes, he could see, didn't he? God's like that. Sometimes our eyes are closed, aren't they? We can't see very far off. But when God opens our eyes, we can see. So Paul made a great apostle for the Lord. Done many great things down through his walk of his life. So God, if you was ever a vessel, he has. I don't believe you're sitting here just to be here today. God's got a purpose in your life. And whether you fulfill that purpose or not, that's up to you. But God has a purpose in your life. I never thought 57 years ago that I'd ever preach the gospel. I was just a little country boy, barefooted, running around over there barefooted. Brother Keith told me how I was raised. Never thought I'd ever be a preacher. God knows better. I tell you what, I wore them woods out. God called me a preacher. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want the job. I didn't. But I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I come to place. I said, Lord, you, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. See, we got to do that. We got to come to place to just put ourselves in his hands. And God can use us. And I saw a lot of souls saved down through the years. Preached a many a sermon through the help of God. I'm still here. But there's one thing about it. It won't be long until I'll be going home. Amen. I told my bird a lot of my friends and loved ones down through the years. But my time's come and somebody's going to carry me to the cemetery. If the Lord don't come back. But he may come back before I leave here, you know. Amen. I believe that too. So you think about the fourth thing that God doesn't know of. The first one is he is not a sinner that he don't love. He loves everybody. You know? And then the second thing is God doesn't know of a sinner that he doesn't love. No matter what you've done, God still loves you. That's why he died for you, because he loves you. And he doesn't know of any other plan of salvation than his son. If you're expecting to go any other way, you're going to miss the mark. You got to come by Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, I told somebody out there a while ago, I said, I've been preaching the gospel down to 57 years. And I told over the church this morning, I met one of my fellow filled in for me at the church this morning. I said, well, I'm going to know where I preach, but I ain't going to preach nothing different. I said, it's the gospel wherever you go. No matter where you preach it at or where it's at, it's still the gospel. It don't change, does it? Amen. So if you're looking for any other thing than the gospel, then you're in the wrong place. Amen. Because I believe your pastor preaches the word. I believe that. I do believe that. You can see the results of it. You can. So I say this in my closing remarks. Love your pastor. Pray for him. Hold him up. Because he is important to you. A lot of folks don't like the pastor. He gets on his toes sometimes, maybe. Maybe they don't like him too well, but what he does for your good, you know. I truly believe that Brother Gunther is like that. I believe his heart is in this church. And he loves you. So stand behind him, pray for him. And whatever he needs, furnish his needs if you can. God will help you. May the good Lord bless you. I know the message is scattered this morning, but like I say, I'm 90 years old. I can't go. I'm not making no excuses. I still go. Hey, some people don't go. They ain't old as I am. You just quit. There ain't no place for you if you're working for the Lord. There ain't no place to quit.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. We enjoyed your challenge, and you told us something we probably hadn't thought about God. We think of a lot of things he says don't do and allows us to do, but sometimes we know he knows everything, just as you said. And he knows right now if you have something on your heart that you need to deal with. I don't know. I don't have to know. But he knows, and you need to deal with it, whatever it is. It might be me. I pray not, but if it is, we'll deal with it. But Sister Nancy's going to pray. Play. You can pray too. She better pray. She's going to play a song, and if there's something on your heart that you need to come and deal with at the altar, come. As Brother Joe said, you might go out, and if it's undone, it's going to be undone in eternity. You might be a good person. It doesn't matter. Because he said he's not a respecter of person. You might be the best person in this church and be unsaved. So if you have something you need to deal with, as Sister Nancy plays, and if they want to sing, it's okay. Come to the altar. Thank you. thank you for your attention and attentiveness. And again, we thank Brother Joe for coming and not replacing, but filling in for Brother Brian. And we pray for our pastor as he is away on a much-needed vacation. So we just continue to pray for he and his family this week, that they'll have a restful time and a safe trip back, and love each other. If there's someone here this morning that's on your heart and you don't see them, call them. Text them. You like texting, so go ahead and text them. So most people like texting. But it's so good to be here and see our church family back in church and trying to get back to normal, whatever that is. It's going to be different, but we're so thankful that we can be here this morning and just be together. And continue to pray for those that can't be here, and pray for those that are lost. We have 130 or 40 people on a list up here that we pray for often that are lost, more than is in this church by a couple of times. So if you don't know someone that's lost, ask me, and I can give you a whole list of names, some in my family, some in my neighbors. But just pray for each other, and let's get back to serving the Lord. So I'm going to ask someone to come to pray for us this morning, give us a good week and a good service tonight and Wednesday night. Brother Wayne's going to be here tonight teaching and preaching, and Brother Paul's going to do Wednesday night service. So I'm going to ask Brother John if he'll come and lead us in a prayer and dismiss us.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for the message that Brother Joe brought here this morning and for the challenge, Father, Lord. Lord, we don't know. We're only guaranteed one calling, Father, Lord, for anything. So, Lord, just let us not take that for granted ever. Lord, just be with us as we go through this week until we meet back again together or with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.